This week, New Jersey Governor Chris Christie became the 14th Republican to announce a run for president. Wisconsin Governor Scott Walker has picked July 13th as his announcement day.
And Hillary Clinton raised a record amount of money. And Donald Trump, well, he continues to astound pretty much everybody. So let's get to it.
Here and now, 2016.
There it is. And our 2016 roundtable guest this week, April Ryan, White House correspondent for American Urban Radio Networks and author of The Presidency in Black and White. Hi, April.
Good morning. How are you?
And Domenico Montanaro, NPR's lead editor for politics and digital audience. Domenico, welcome to you as well.
Thank you. Thanks for having me, of course.
And let's start with listening to Chris Christie announcing on Tuesday that he's running.
When I stand up on a stage like this in front of all of you, there is one thing you will know for sure. I mean what I say, and I say what I mean, and that's what America needs right now.
So a little Alice in Wonderland there, the March Hare. I just want to say what you mean what you say. And April, you tweeted that Christie is in the race, and can this town, meaning Washington, stand divisive, tell it like it is talk? Can it?
You know, we are right now at a time when people are seeing a division in Washington from two sides. And there is a call for a bringing together, coming together of both sides to work for the American people. And, you know, listening to Chris Christie at the very beginning when he started, you know, this straight talk, you know, tell it like it is, it was kind of refreshing. But after a while, this is like, wait a minute, this rubbing people the wrong way. And if people really want answers, you can't just dismiss them. They are asking for a reason, and you have to be able to come together and give them your rationale so that you can work through something. And the question is, will this tell it like it is work in Washington? And I just don't think it will. And a lot of my respondents, my unscientific poll on Twitter and on Facebook, it came back, you know, pretty much saying the same thing that I was feeling.
Well, but Domenico, one quick question before we move on from Chris Christie. Is the bridge scandal over? You know, the idea that his aides closed a bridge, an important bridge, in order to punish Democrats. Is that over?
Well, we know there's a trial coming up for some of his aides who were alleged to have had a hand in this. But the irony here about Chris Christie and what April's talking about with this bipartisanship message is actually what he's really running on, ironically, because he won across a broad coalition for re-election. But that's very hard to do post the Bridgegate scandal when about 30% approval rating now in his state, in a left-leaning state. So that message is strongly undercut.
And a lot of people surprised right now that Chris Christie, especially if you had thought about this a year ago, that Chris Christie is doing so much worse in the polls than Donald Trump. And let's talk about him for a minute here, because he is polling second now in New Hampshire, in Iowa, in certain polls, and nationally as well. And he is not backing down on these comments that he made last month, calling Mexicans who have come across the border criminals, drug dealers, rapists. On CNN last night, Trump was citing media reports about women crossing the border and being raped. And here he is with CNN host Don Lemon.
I read the Washington Post. I read the Fusion. I read the Huffington Post. And that's about women being raped. It's not about criminals coming across the border or entering the country.
Well, somebody's doing the raping, Don. I mean, you know, it's I mean, somebody's doing that. You're saying it's women being raped. Well, who's doing the raping?
So, April, what kind of a week do you think that Donald Trump is having right now? Is he really attracting support?
He's attracting a certain type of person, far right wing. You know, it's amazing to listen to him and to listen to him believe what he says in the last couple of days.
I jump in for a second, April, because I can hear Donald Trump supporters saying that that was a good question. You know, if women are being raped while crossing the border, Mexican immigrants, who is raping?
If I'm hearing it correctly, he's indirectly trying to say, or directly, whichever way you take it, you know, that Mexicans are raping the women when they come across. And I'm just saying, you know, Donald Trump is shocking. He's almost like a shock jock to get that to get the attention that he needs. And that's what he has done to become, to have this great branded name. But does it work in politics? I mean, we've seen already, and I'm from the Baltimore area, Dr. Ben Carson say some shocking things to get people to listen to him. And then his numbers came up. But I don't know. I mean, Donald Trump is going to the extreme, and he's appealing to a certain sect of this country that, you know, is not necessarily the piece of the country that's trying to bring Americans together, be it race, gender, what have you. It's almost, again, like we're going back into this white male campaign issue. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I'm hearing a lot of things from a couple of campaigns ago, and America said we didn't want this, and he's going back to it.
Well, so Domenico, is this going to last? Is this just a momentary thing? Is Donald Trump just having his moment now, and a month from now he'll be falling in the polls and all that?
Well, no idea where he's going to wind up. And I think we should just remember that in the polls now, it's very tough to pay attention to them to say that they'll mean something later on when he's only at 13% nationally when it came to the latest CNN poll. That's certainly not close to a majority of voters at this point. He is, in a way, like April said, like a shock jock, where he's going to say what he says to get attention. And he is the worst thing that Republicans strategists are saying could happen to this field, yeah, because after the 2012 election, they went through that autopsy with the RNC, the Republican National Committee, to rethink what their messaging should be like, what their tone should be like, what their outreach to minorities should be like. And this is the furthest thing afield from what
exactly
they would want to see happen to the Republican field, to have other candidates have to respond to what Donald Trump says. On that point, only one candidate so far has said anything to shoot
George
down
Pataki.
Donald Trump. Well, maybe Pataki did.
Yes, he tweeted it today.
But well, then yesterday we heard Jeb Bush say something in Nevada in Spanish and say that Donald Trump did not represent Republicans. So then you've got two. But a lot of people don't want to have to wade into the Donald Trump thing because, as you've seen, he's very litigious. He's going to come after you. He's going to hit you below the belt.
But let me say this, and you may make a point there, but you have to pay attention to Donald Trump because, yes, you have 20 plus and counting people who are running for president, and those who hit that 10% mark or above will make the debates. So if Donald Trump makes the debate, he is a problem. He could be an asset or a problem to the Republican Party, and right now it looks like he's a problem. The RNC is really trying to be inclusive. They've been reaching out to me, particularly during the Confederate flag flap. I was in London. Mm-hmm. And they wanted – Ryan Priebus told me point blank. He said, we are more united than we are divided. Ryan Priebus told me this last week. And for Donald Trump to be saying these kind of things, especially when the Hispanic community are in play, that community is in play for the Democrats and Republicans, that is divisive. And they are not going to get the votes that they want.
And he does have the potential to hijack a debate, like you said, April. Well, I mean, because he's above that 10% mark where Fox News and CNN say on the average of national polls that they'll have for that August 6th debate. And he could knock somebody off the stage who's a governor or a senator.
Well, we want to take a look at the Democratic side and someone who thinks someone who his backers think might knock someone else off the stage. Ryan Priebus, you were mentioning, April, of course, the Republican Party chair. But Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders, Jeremy, you showed me this morning pictures going around side by side of one of his gatherings, one of Hillary Clinton's gatherings. Bernie Sanders drew 10,000 people to the Veterans Memorial Coliseum in Madison, Wisconsin yesterday, and pushed back on Republicans who had welcomed him to the state with a billboard that called his policies extremist.
When you deny the right of workers to come together in collective bargaining, that's extremism. When you tell a woman that she cannot control her own body, that's extremism.
April Ryan, White House correspondent for American Urban Radio Networks. Anybody else drawing 10,000? I don't think so.
I don't think so. Robin, I'm trying to think if it was someone who pulled them together, made them come and sit down, or if they just came.
Yeah. Came
no, he's done something that hasn't been done. Bernie Sanders is the rock star right now. He's got Obama rock star status for pulling in 10,000. Not 10, not 100, not 1,000. 10,000 folks. That's major. He's saying something people want to hear in Wisconsin. That's amazing.
Yeah. Well, there's two things I think that we should keep in mind. One, Wisconsin's not an early primary state. Bernie Sanders did draw 5,000 people in Minnesota also, which is also not an early primary state. But both places, Madison in particular, are places where there are deep liberal bases that are open to the Bernie Sanders message. And in Wisconsin in particular, been in all of these fights with Scott Walker over public union jobs. The other thing I wanted to mention, we just learned his campaign has released their fundraising numbers, and he's raised $15 million since getting in the race, which is actually pretty darn good when you consider what that's like compared to where other candidates were in 2008 and 2012. Hillary Clinton, of course, also announced yesterday that she raised $45 million, which was second only to Barack Obama in 2008 and 2012 when he ran for most money ever raised. But still, $15 million, nothing to sneeze at. 10,000, a huge crowd.
Exactly.
All right. Well, we got to go here, but I do want to just ask you both a prediction. I just want one word here. Who's going to be the first GOP candidate to drop out? Domenico.
Bad idea.
April, you want to make a guess?
My name is Bennett, and I'm not in it.
Well, you know what? And not everybody's announced yet. We mentioned
this.
I know.
There's more getting in before anybody
gets
out.
Before we subtract, yes. Right.
April Wyon, White House correspondent for American Urban Radio Networks, author of The Presidency in Black and White, and Domenico Montanaro, NPR's lead editor for politics and digital audience. Thank you, as always.
Always a pleasure. Thanks, guys. Thank you very much.